All right, turn if you would to 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 4, and we're going to title this lesson, David and Jonathan, David and Jonathan. Notice what it says. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garment, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Now here we read a story of friendship. And what a friend David had in Jonathan, and what a friend Jonathan had in David. Now, friendship is one of those special gifts that God gives to the human race. You know, it has been said that if a person has just a couple of good friends, they are richly blessed. You know, most of the people we call friends are mere acquaintances. They're not real friends at all. You know, some people are on Facebook and they like to brag about how many... Is Facebook even a thing anymore? Yeah. Okay. But anyways, I don't use any of this stuff, but I hear about it. But they brag about the thousands of friends they have. Really? You know, I remember one had like 3,000 to 5,000 friends. And then she needed to move and she's asking this other guy, she says, "Hey, can you help me move this Saturday?" He says, "Well, what about all your 3,000 to 5,000 friends on Facebook? Why don't they help you out?" You know, I mean, seriously, are those people really your friends? Are they just nosy busybodies trying to get a life? Friends. You know, very few of us have real good friends. You know I have one. And he told me one time, he said, "John, if you ever needed anything, no matter where you are in the entire world," he said, "I'll drop everything to come to your aid." Now, that's a friend. Most would say, "Hell, you know what? I got to work. Oh, I got to cut my lawn. Oh, you know, my wife asked me to go grocery shopping." I mean, they'll come up with some lame excuse why they can't help. But a friend will drop things and do what's necessary to help a friend out. Now stop and think. If you got a friend, you need to thank the Lord for them. More importantly, you need to ask the Lord to make you a good friend. You know, the Bible says, "He that hath friends must show himself what?" You say, "Well, I don't have any friends." There you go. You just told on yourself. You're not friendly. Now, here's the thing. It's not the rest of the world's problem. It's yours. Maybe you need to make some changes in your life so that you can be the friend you ought to be and others will be friends to you. I mean, pretty simple, isn't it? You know, when we get down to the core things, most of us are pretty selfish. And you know, you can't have friends when you're selfish. I remember going to Owen years ago, and I saw this guy had this sticker on his car and says, "I have friends I haven't even used yet." And I think, that's not a friend that I want. But we ought to be true friends. Amen? We should. Now, in any chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, we come across two names. Now, the Bible is filled with all kinds of names, and some seem together better than others. You know, you have Abraham and Sarah, right? But then what about David and what? Jonathan. Now, David had done battle with Goliath. Now, one tremendous test in his life has passed. And you know what? He passed with flying colors. He defeated the giant and led Israel to victory. He trusted the Lord, and the Lord gave him the victory. Something was looming much larger in David's life than the battle with Goliath. It would be more severe than any giant that David would face. David would have to deal with the rage and jealousy of Saul. You know, jealousy is cruel as a grave. You know, that's something God's people should never have. It's ruined many a marriage, ruined many a friendship. It has ruined many a church. The green-eyed monster of jealousy. Terrible thing, ain't it? What a wicked attitude. But yet it is displayed. Some people have it. And it's an awful, awful thing. So often in life, we think we have passed a test only to find out is the first in a series of tests we need to pass. God has a way of building His children by having us deal with severity and degrees so that we can learn to trust Him day by day. As great of a test as it was for David to face Goliath, it was not nearly the test that facing Saul proved to be. It is most interesting and helpful to find out what God did to David as David dealt with Saul. Now, Saul was a king. And eventually he's going to try to kill David. Saul became enraged and he was jealous of David. Because the women sang, Saul hath killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Oh, how horrible that is. Who cares? Why didn't he say, God bless you, David. Thanks for delivering the nation. Why not give him a medal of honor and do something special for him? But instead, let's get jealous. Let's cause problems. Because that's what jealousy does. Saul's anger was out of control. Now, God spared the life of David in such a way that the only way it could be explained was that God did it. On one occasion, Saul took his spear in his hand. Matter of fact, it seemed like they were having family devotions. And he chucked that spear at David and went into the wall. Now, how many would think just Saul was a bad marksman? No, Saul was a king. He was a warrior. You know, he could have probably took out any animal with that spear. And yet, he missed David. I wonder how that happened. Do you think maybe God was involved? Because David was anointed. He was going to sit on the throne of Israel. And God was going to make sure that that was going to happen. It didn't matter what Saul was about to do. God was still in control. Yeah, Saul was a trained soldier. But God spared David. Now, how was God going to help David deal with such a man as Saul? Well, the answer is very simple. He gave David a friend. He gave David a friend. You know, many of us, or many men and women in general, have faced a seemingly insurmountable trial in life. But God gave them a friend to help them through. I mean, have you ever been going through some kind of severe trouble and all of a sudden you got a call from someone you never even expected? And man, it kind of bucked you up. It kind of made you feel a little bit better. And you didn't even know they cared about you, but they showed themselves to be a friend in your time of need. I'll never forget when I was here, I think it was the second year I was here, and this guy was writing articles against me, and all because I believed, you know, in eternal life. I got death threats from him, and he protested in front of our church, slashed the van tires, spray painted the building, and I'm thinking, man. Well, it just happened to be probably at the low point of my ministry here. And I'm sitting in the back one Sunday morning, and I felt like saying, you know, Lord, I don't want to go to church. And Connie says, "You got to go." I said, "Why?" She says, "You're the pastor." But it was. I was at a low point in the ministry. And we had a church split. All this stuff was going on. And then I get a call from another pastor in town that I didn't even think knew I existed, except for, you know, a couple times that we met. And he said, "Hey, Pastor Rainey," he says, "I want to let you know I read those articles that were written against you." And I'm thinking, good. Now I get to get kicked in the teeth and get the steel boot treatment from my fellow brethren. Because that's usually what happens. Right? You know, when a Christian is down, that's a time to beat on him and kick him. That's how most Christians react. And you know what he said? And this was the guy with the biggest fundamental Baptist church in town. He says, "I want to let you know I'm for you." He says, "You're doing a good job down there." He says, "You keep up the good work." And he says, "I want you to know," he says, I spread this thing around my church. And if this guy ever comes to our church, we're going to throw him out in Jesus' name as well as your name. And we'll be glad to do so. Now, you know what? I had some other acquaintances here in town. And you know what? They claim to be my friends. And you know what? Not one of them would come to my side and help me. Pretty sad, isn't it? It's crazy. You say, "You got other friends in the ministry?" Not anymore, because I don't play well with others. But think about that. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God provides you a friend in your deep, dark moments. People that will come to you and aid you. Now, in the morning with this battle of Goliath, David didn't even have his family with him. Remember his older brother, Eliab? He kind of badmouthed him and put him down, discouraged him, didn't he? But once the battle's over, God provided him a friend, and that friend was one that sticketh closer than a brother. His name happened to be Jonathan. God gave David a friend. You might think it's interesting to note that Jonathan was more than twice David's age. Remember, David wasn't old enough to be in the army at the time. And here you got a seasoned warrior by Jonathan, was most likely twice as old, and he became David's fast friend. You know, some of us think we only can have friends our own age. You're making a sad mistake if that's what you think. You know, older people sometimes are the best friends you can have. And you know what? They got a little bit of wisdom about them. And they can pass on some of that stuff. And you know what? They're willing to look after you a little bit. They're not so tied up and busy. Even though Jonathan was. I mean, but he's twice as old as David. David could have learned a lot from Jonathan. Jonathan was in the court of the king. He was the crown prince. He sure would help David make the transition, don't you think? Or at least instruct him in the ways of the court. You know, God wants every one of us to be a friend. You know, you can choose to be a friend. You can't make those other people like you. But you can choose to be a friend, whether they like you or not. And don't expect anything in return. Friends don't do that. Well, one hand washes the other. Keep your friendship. You know, one of the things I want to be want said about me when I'm dead and gone is, if John Rainey was your friend, he was your friend. He wasn't fickle. Being a friend. Everybody should be a friend. Not, you know, everybody wants friends, but we don't want to make the effort to be a friend. And if we would be a friend, He that showeth himself what? Friendly shall have what? Friends. If you would be a friend, you'd have friends. Now notice something about entering into this friendship. The Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, speaking about David, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now God uses the word knit to show us that their souls were bound together. They were sewn together. They entered into a friendship. Now, Jonathan had already proven himself to be a courageous soldier, did he not? He was every inch of a man. We learn this fact earlier in the accounts of the Word of God. Remember, the Philistines were all around, and Saul just had 600 men. People were departing from them, and they were waiting for Samuel to offer the offering, and Saul took a charge, and he did it himself. But in the meantime, who slipped away? Jonathan did. And him and his armor bearer, and he looked over at the Philistine. There was a group of Philistine soldiers. He says, "Hey!" He told his armor bearer, "Now, if they come to us, then we'll stay put. But if they say, 'Come on over here and get you some,' we'll go over there and get us some." You say, that's not what they said. It's in the Hebrew. And they said, "Hey, there they are. You guys hiding in your rocks and in your caves. You finally come out. Why don't you come over here and do us some fighting?" And Jonathan did. And as a result, Israel won that battle that day. So Jonathan was already courageous, was he not? He was already a good soldier. Now Jonathan was by his father's side when David goes to meet him with the head of Goliath in his hand. Now Jonathan loved his father, loved him dearly, and had been steadfast with his father. Now when David returned from fighting Goliath with Goliath's head in his hand, Jonathan was there. He was listening to what David had to say. And he was listening to the comments that Saul made to David. Well, as he listened, his soul was knit with David and they entered into a friendship. You know, friendship is vital. You know, some people, and I've give this advice when it comes to marriage. You ought to marry your friend. You know, if you're not friends with your potential spouse, don't get married. You know, what do they say? A man's best friend is his what?
Dog.
You know, no, really. They say his dog, right. But it should be what? His wife. You ought to marry your friend. Because a friend loveth that what? Isn't that good? "Well, you know, preacher, you know, she's just beautiful. I can't help it. I'm marrying her for her beauty." Well, you know what? That's not going to last. And probably on your wedding night, when you wake up in the morning, you see her without that Mary Kay on, it's going to be a shock. And you might say, "Oh, but you should see the muscles on him. He's like Brutus Beefcake." And once you get to know him, you find out he's really Oscar Mayer and full of baloney. But if you marry a friend, you got a friend for life. And your spouse and you ought to be the best of friends. These guys were good friends. Now, think about this. Jonathan was a crown prince. Do you realize he was next to the throne? After Saul vacated that throne, guess who was in line? Jonathan. He's the crown prince. Now that's how it would normally go, would it not? And then you got David. What was he? He was just an ordinary shepherd boy, from Bethlehem, some small village, tending his father's flock. Oh, I know he was anointed to be king. But you know what? Did Jonathan know that? And yet these two from opposite sides became fast friends. You know, you shouldn't always have friends just like you. Well, some of you say, why not? Me, myself, and I, we get along pretty well. Yep, that's why you don't have anybody else around. But you know what? You ought to learn to like other people, not just like you. Maybe in your same class of social sphere, or education level, or whatever else it is. You know, people need a friend. You could be that friend. Jonathan was a friend of David, just an ordinary guy. Now, ask yourself this morning, search your mind. Can you recall who your true friends are? You should be able to. If you don't, you don't have any. The problem doesn't lie with the rest of us. It lies with you. You've chosen not to be friendly, therefore you have no friends. Don't get all mad. Don't get upset at everybody else. Look in the mirror and make the adjustments. Pretty simple. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen in great riches and loving favor than silver and gold. Remember that expression, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now think about this. God did something in Jonathan's heart as he was standing there beside his father, beholding this young warrior with nothing but a sling and some stones and perhaps a little shepherd's rod. And now he had the giant sword as well as his head in his hand. God caused David to have favor in the heart of Jonathan. Jonathan's heart was now joined to David's, and they entered into this friendship. Do you know that in the providential care of God in our lives, He allows us to come in contact with people? Correct? And some of them He brings into our life just in the nick of time, when we need them the most. I remember years ago when my friend Robin Smith's wife died, left him with three young children. How was the oldest one? Maybe 10, if that old? And I got a call from his secretary telling me that Christy had passed. And, of course, my heart was broken. And I said, well, when's the funeral? And they told us what it was on Tuesday. And I got the news, Saturday or Sunday. I said, okay. I said, Connie, we're going to Texas. I said, we're going to go to that funeral. She said, we're going to go all that way for a funeral? I said, yes, we are. I said, we get one chance. We get one chance to be there for him in his time of great need. And I said, we're going. And I'll never forget pulling up to that funeral home and those little kids. Remember that, Connie? We weren't even out of the car opening up a door, and they were screaming and yelling, Brother Rainey's here! Brother Rainey's here! It meant so much to them. Folks, that's what friends do. You be there for them in their time of need. You know, you can find selfish people all over the world. You don't have to look very far. Some of us just need to look in the mirror. We're number one. Do you know how you spot them? Most of the time, they're by themselves. They're by themselves. They got a small circle of influence, don't they? They're not friendly. crazy, isn't it? Now, they could have friends, could they not? But they don't show themselves friendly. Therefore, they're alone. Perhaps you find exceptions to that. That's okay. That's on you. But remember the truth of God's word. A man that hath friends must what? Pretty self-explanatory, don't you think? Then notice the expression of this friendship. This friendship was not self-serving. It was self-sacrificing. Humanly speaking, there was nothing that Jonathan could gain from David. Nothing. There was nothing David had in his possession that he could give to Jonathan. But Jonathan befriended him. Notice carefully how Jonathan expressed his friendship in verses 2 through 4. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Now David stood in the tent with Saul, and Saul said, "You're not going home. You're going to stay. You're going to be part of my army." Jonathan goes to David, and he does an amazing thing. He gave David his sword, his bow, his other weapons, his robe. And by doing so, when he placed that royal robe on David, he was declaring, "I love God, I love my nation, and David, you are going to be my king, and you're going to take my place." Now, did Jonathan know David was already anointed? No. Let me say this. If Saul knew and Jonathan knew, guess what would have happened to David? Even though God would have protected him. Can you imagine a heart so full of love for God and for somebody else that you would allow them to rule and reign instead of you? He's the crown prince. He's next in line. No wonder this example of David and Jonathan is lifted up to us in the Word of God as a model of friendship and devotion. You know, ask yourself this. I hope you did marry your friend, and your wife or your husband is the best friend that you have. But are you selfish in that relationship? Or do you prefer one another? Do you have to have your way? You're not much of a friend. You ought to be what? Preferring one another. Amen? That's what friends do. The Bible says they entered into a covenant. Now, it's been 3,000 years since this event took place after the battle with Goliath, and the influence of their example of friendship is still far-reaching today and will be throughout all of eternity. David learned that God was in every step he took. He did not know on the day that he defeated Goliath how important it would be to have such a friend as Jonathan, but he would learn. And it would happen soon. The example of this friendship ought to stir each one of our hearts, and we ought to be better friends than we currently are. The Bible says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. one, it ought to be Jesus first. But then according to this, our friends are right up there, aren't they? Because they'll stick closer even than family. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the Bible records that publicans and sinners gathered with the Lord Jesus. You know, when the Pharisees saw them, they said, "Look at him. He's a friend of publicans and sinners." Boy, am I glad he is. That's all there is. That's all we are. Our Lord Jesus knew what they were saying. And he begins to tell the story of a man who had 100 sheep. One of them was lost. Now he loved that sheep so much that he risked his life to save it. He made sure the other 99 were taken care of, but he went into the hills and he brought that sheep back, put it on his shoulders and carried it back and put it in the flock. He talks about a woman who had a necklace of 10 precious coins, and one of them was lost. But it meant much to her, so much so that she went out and did everything she could searching that house until she found it. He spoke of a father that had two sons. One of them left home, but that father never gave up on his boy. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" I believe some of us have lost friendships, and we're not doing anything to repair it. And the problem doesn't lie with them. You say, "Well, preacher, you don't know what they said. You don't know what they did." A friend loveth what? He that hath friends must show himself. Perhaps today would be a good day to reach out to them. Repair that relationship that has been broken because it's been lost. We can't afford to lose many friends, can we? Because we don't have very many. Not good ones. The Lord lets them and us know that He's not only a friend, but you know what? He was willing to come to earth to find us. He was willing to go to Calvary to save us. He was willing to seek and to suffer until we were found. I'm here to tell you this morning, I have a friend. His name is Jesus. He has forgiven my sin. He has saved my soul. He's given me a home in heaven. He's changed my life. He's done all of this and much more for me. And I deserve none of it. Not anything. Because of what He wants, what He has been to me, cannot I be a friend to somebody else? You know, I want to be a friend to God too. You know, it's said of Abraham three times in the Scripture that he was a friend of God. I don't recall it being said of anybody else. Now, I may be wrong, but he was a friend of God. How about us being a friend of God? That would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? But let's be a friend to somebody. All right, we'll have some more in 5 minutes.